We did a show on this in 1974, and it was clear at that time, Peter Lougheed was the premier of Alberta, and with the Arab oil embargo, it was clear that the tar sands represented a huge opportunity for the province of Alberta, and there was discussion about building maybe 10 gigantic plants to extract. And we did a program showing that there were a lot of environmental problems, and there were problems with the natives as well, and that those issues ought to be discussed before you expanded. So there was an opportunity at that point, when the nature of things came out, to really look at this without the pressure of big plants that were already there. And we could have taken our time and worked out the best environmentally and socially proper ways to do things. But of course, all that got ignored. So here we are now, over 30 years later, and now because the price of oil has climbed steadily, the easy oil, easily accessible oil is running out, and now the tar sands represent this huge opportunity. And it is already the biggest development on the planet. You can see it from outer space. It is, if it carries on as it is going now, the tar sands alone could represent over 20% of Canada's greenhouse gas emissions. That's just that one development area. So the implications of it are enormous. So 2 years ago, I said to Michael Alder, who's the executive director of the Nature of Things, look, Michael, we can't, if we're a science program, we can't ignore that. And we've got to do a show. And to Michael's credit and CBC's credit, we're doing a two-hour special. It's not just a one-hour show. And it's I'm delighted with the show that Niobe put together, because it really is looking at the science of it and the need for good science.
And there's an interesting point that was made. Before, years ago, oil was more abundant, easier to find. So you can see us saying, okay, this is simple to use, we're easier, we want to work on it. Now that oil, the easy oil, what people are calling, is disappearing, and even we've only got 2% of, I think, in the tar sands, it's easy to get to, the rest is going to be more difficult. Is there a push, do you think, in a lot of these different areas with either wind or ethanol, that people are going to say, well, now that oil is really hard to get, maybe we should start looking at other places because it's going to be just harder, or are we still going to stick to going for the oil?
That's a very good question. I mean, as it gets harder to get, where you have to go down not just a few hundred feet into the ocean, but now miles into the ocean, and the oceans are very, difficult, and there are icebergs and coming off Newfoundland, damn it all, why don't people ask exactly what you've asked? Look, guys, the risks are too great. Why don't, what are there any other opportunities? Well, guess what? Even if we took all of the tar sands oil and just wrecked that whole area and wrecked the planet, it's going to run out. The big hooker that we don't discuss is there's lots of coal. Coal is the most polluting of the fossil fuels, but tar sands oil will be as polluting as coal. But there's always coal, and we can't continue to load the atmosphere with carbon. We just can't. And so I don't understand why we aren't regarding this as the challenge like Pearl Harbor. When Pearl Harbor came, people said, oh my God, we got to go to war now. And nobody said it's going to cost too much or destroy our way of life. They went and won the war. And this is a huge challenge, and we've got to marshal that effort. And guess what? There's limitless amounts of renewable energy. It's called sunlight.
Yeah. So do you believe, so that if the ones like the ethanol, sunlight, everything, the one that you think would be the one that would be the best to focus on would be for solar?
I think solar is, obviously, there's a huge amount, but there, and it's an opportunity, but we've got a lot of technology to develop yet. So I think we're at the very, very beginning. I think if we put a lot of effort into it, today's solar panels will look like Model A Fords due to us today. But I think the future of our energy is going to be very, very diverse. We can't keep relying on a single energy source. That makes you very, very vulnerable. We see that when nuclear plants fail. We see that when there are ice storms and our electrical systems go wrong. We need a diverse small scale and local energy sources. So biomass may very well be a source, although there are problems with that. But I think geothermal's got enormous power potential. I think that wave power, wind is going to be serious, but solar is the one that's vast.
Well, the interesting thing is you had said that you did something in the 70s on this exact same project.
Yes.
30 years later, we're in the same place. An interesting point that I always think is fascinating when it comes to solar energy is that in, I think it was 1979, Carter put solar panels on the White House, and Reagan came in and ripped them off.
Yeah.
And all I'm thinking is, if they kept it there, we would be 30 years more ahead on solar energy. Maybe we will be at the point where we can fix this. But then again, like you say, economies, the money comes in. One more question that I do want to ask, which I always found interesting, and particularly in this movie, and it approached it as well, is I am fascinated by how big businesses and governments still believe that you can self-regulate a business. I don't understand why they think this can happen.
We know voluntary compliance never works. Never works. And yet governments still love to say, no, no, no. And the reason is the corporate agenda now has become government agenda. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we have to understand. The government now feels that the corporations are what have to be served above all else. So don't legislate, don't regulate, let the free market do things, get government off the backs of industry and let them go ahead. And industries come and they say, yeah, don't worry, we'll take care of it. We know that's bullshit. We've seen what the tobacco industry has done for years and years. The fossil fuel industry has done the same since climate change became a very serious thing in the late 1980s. Tens of millions of dollars have been spent, led by Exxon, have been spent in a campaign of disinformation to confuse the public. And it worked. Mm-hmm. But we can't just let the corporate agenda set that. And, you know, RAMP, the regional...
Aquatic Monitoring Program.
RAMP is basically a corporate entity that says, no, trust us, we're doing fine, we're monitoring, everything's fine. And the government just mouthed the same thing. Oh, yeah, we're doing a good job, and it's... It doesn't work. Kyoto, all the countries are there. Mm-hmm. And everyone agreed. The industrial countries had created the problem, and we were still the major polluters. So it was up to us to cap our emissions and reduce it to allow China and India and these other countries to have their moment. And then by 2012, we would then all get together and come out with the next thing, which would include everybody. The minute Kyoto ended in 97, Alberta said, this is no good. India and China and these other countries aren't included. And my response was, we made the problem. If we can't show that we're going to set, we're still saying we got to grow. If we're not willing to cut back, why should India or China pay any attention? I mean... Mm-hmm.